The subject that I have on my mind this morning is the mercy of God. And I want to start in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, with a verse that does not talk about the mercy of God. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." This one of the things that I noticed about this verse is I think I probably, if you asked me to quote it, I might have said, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice." But in this verse, the Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Romans, identifies something really pretty important about mercy. And so we'll start our journey here this morning. One is that mercy is an attribute of God. Just like God is love, and God is justness, and God is long-suffering, God is righteous and holy, God is just, God is mercy. But mercy as an attribute of God isn't where it stops, because in God, in perfect fashion, His attributes are often and always demonstrated in His acts. And so what God does, He does because of who He is. And God is mercy, and therefore it should be no surprise to us that God is merciful. And that He is not just mercy, but He in attribute, but He is merciful in action, and mercy is an act. Mercy is an action. I'm sure if you've ever heard anybody, or at least if you've been in the circumstance I have, where you've heard a preacher try to talk about mercy, there's usually some contrast comparison with grace. I'll acknowledge that this morning, though that's not fundamentally what's on my mind. We'll tell you that grace is when we receive something that we don't deserve. And that's motivated by the love of God. One relationship between mercy and grace is the only way you can get mercy is by grace. You can't deserve mercy. You can't earn mercy. Because you deserve justice and you can earn justice. But if you receive mercy, it's always administered to you by grace. So in some ways, mercy is a subset of grace. When you talk about mercy, it is always by the grace of God. Because you don't deserve it, and because He gives it, in spite of you not deserving it, and I don't like to use the word "in spite," because that's certainly not why God gives mercy, but apart and except from the fact that you don't deserve it, He gives it because of the love that He has for us and for you. But mercy is also an act of God, and in this action we'll see the manifestation of the attribute of God and the way that He is merciful. Grace is when we receive something that we don't deserve, and mercy, as I'm sure you've heard, would be pretty easy to kind of categorize as when we don't receive something that we do deserve. Okay. And when we talk about grace, we're usually talking about something good that we don't deserve that we get. And when we talk about mercy, we're talking about something unpleasant, like justice and judgment that we deserve that the Lord withholds. Okay. What I will tell you by that, one thing that grace and mercy both have in common is neither one have ever happened by accident. God has never been accidentally gracious to you. He's never been accidentally merciful to you. You've never dodged the bullet with God. You've never not been held accountable because it slipped His mind or because you've got away with it. That's not how mercy works. If we were to attribute that, you know, lack of judgment or the lack of the administration of judgment to that, we would be resting our hope and mercy on the forgetfulness of God. Okay? What we find is God is not a forgetter. Okay? God has never forgotten anything, and He's never been surprised. He's never accidentally done anything. And He said, "Brother Mark, I thought He said He would remember our sins and iniquities against us no more." And I'll give you that. That doesn't sound accidental, though, does it? All right? God hasn't forgotten sin. He's chosen, because of the just offering of and the sacrifice of Christ Jesus, the Lord God can say, "I will remember it against you no more." And I would just submit to you before we go any further, would you rather have accidental mercy or purposeful mercy? Right? I mean, what if the mercy were found out? Right? What if you got to that point where the Lord said, "Oh, hold it. You were supposed to be held accountable for something." You're like, "Yeah, but I got that accidental mercy." Right? Wouldn't it be better if you knew, and more importantly, the Lord said, I'm being merciful to you on purpose. Mm-hmm. I'm well aware of what you've done, what you've said, what you've thought, what you didn't do, what you didn't say, what you didn't think. And I, on purpose, in an act in which I can embrace and demonstrate my own attributes, I've chosen, Sister Linda, to be merciful to you. That I'd rather have that. I don't know if we're voting or not, but I'll take purposeful mercy over accidental mercy, right? And that purposeful mercy comes by His grace, right? Because you can't deserve it. The closest you can come to deserving mercy is to be just and not, be due any judgment because you're just, right? But in that case, that mercy isn't what we stand in need of. But I'll tell you what, in this life, I've spent far more of my life needing mercy than seeking for justice and judgment. Right. Okay. Now, there's a few things that the word of the Lord would tell us about mercy. Here in Romans chapter 12, where we start, one thing we find out, it's not just an attribute of God, but it is an act of God. Mercy is real, and it really happens. The other thing we find out is it doesn't just say by the mercy of God, but by the mercies of God. So one thing to learn about mercy is it's plural. And since there's more than one of us in this room, I'm glad it's plural, right? I'm glad that when it comes down to the act of mercy, God didn't just have like one nugget of mercy and He had to choose unto whom He would be merciful. God is sovereign in His mercy. He said, I will be merciful unto whom I will be merciful. If that were one person, that's the way it would have gone. But thanks be to God that His mercies are plural. Right? Not just because there's more than one of us, but because there's more than one time and more than one circumstance in which you've needed mercy. Right? Even if He had one mercy for everyone, that would be remarkable. But would you have used yours up? I would have used mine long, long ago. And I probably would have said, can I trade that mercy for this one? Like, that was a small thing compared to what I need mercy for now. Right? But we can praise God not just that He's merciful or for the mercy in terms of like some concept of God. We can praise and beseech one another based on the mercies of God. The fact that He has been multiply merciful. Merciful to many and merciful to many, many times and many ways. Another thing we can find when we read about mercy, if we go to Isaiah 55, Isaiah 55, verse 1, beautiful passage of Scripture, says, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. You know what that sounds like? That sounds like grace, right? To be able to have milk and honey, to have water for your thirst, even when we don't have money and we don't have the wherewithal. Verse 2 says, Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? You know what this starts to sound like? There's some times that I'm not laboring for the right things, and here entereth mercy. The Lord is so gracious to us to give us food and milk and wine and water. It says, Wherefore or why do you spend money for that which is not bread? Have you ever spent money for something that wasn't bread? Ever spent money for something that wasn't essential? Ever spent money for something that wasn't good for you? Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. And that's a capital D, David, but I don't think it's capitalized just because it's the name of David. I think it's capitalized because it's the name of the King David, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. One thing we learn here about mercy as we get back to Isaiah 55 is evidently Isaiah, when he was moved to the Lord to write about mercy, he put it in plural as well, right? The mercies of David. But not just the mercies of David. There's something special to know about the mercies of God. They're sure. Okay. Now, if we understand and appreciate what mercy is and how we need it and why we need it, and that we need it, I think it's going to become very important that it's sure. Okay? If we don't appreciate them, who cares if it's sure or not? Okay? But mercy is the very action of God whereby, because of the righteousness that's imputed unto you, because of the righteousness of Christ Jesus, God, who is such a great judge of things, God, who is such a great seer, right? God, who can see right through to the very heart of the matter, and He can see what you think, and even before you think it, He knows what you say, what you were going to say. This God who can see all, who, without mercy, imagine God without mercy, without the provision of mercy, to see what He sees. Right? There's something in various applications called seeing behind the curtain, right? Where, like, if you're literally like part of a production of a play, there's what it looks like from the seats, and then there's all the things that are going on in the background, right? The Lord sees right through the superficial. Without mercy, think about how God would see you without the provision of mercy. Perhaps not being able to withhold judgment. I think our relationship would be quite different, right? Not even just would we be eternally separate from God, but while we lived here, for us to be seen only for what we truly are by our action, I'm thankful for mercy. Thankful for mercies. And if there's two kinds of mercy, if there's an unsure mercy and a sure mercy, you want to take another vote. Who wants sure mercy versus unsure mercy? Do you need a mercy that might hit every now and then, or do you need a mercy that when the Lord gives it, it really works? I need mercy that works. I need mercy that can really do what mercy does, which is be the expression of God's ability not to render harsh judgment upon me, and instead look at me through the imputed righteousness and the shed blood of Christ Jesus and say, I love you anyway. Right? And I love you every way. And I love you any day. And I love you every day. I need the sure mercies of David. Let's turn to Psalm 51. Psalm 51, verse 1, it says, and here we're going to spend a little bit of time with the psalmist David. We've been in the New Testament with the Apostle Paul. We just read from the prophet Isaiah. Now in Psalm 51, and I'm not sure if your Bible has this little prefatory remark, some do and some don't, that tell you the nature and the time of when this psalm was written. If it's there, you can read along with me. If not, this is what my Cambridge production of the Bible here has. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba. All right, this is a terribly dark time for the psalmist David. Right? Time of guilt and shame. And Nathan had said, thou art the man. The condemnation that came with that. This is a time when David needs something of God. Right? And it's essentially, if God doesn't have mercy at this time, I think David has no hope for any fellowship with God whatsoever. There's times we may be thumbing our lapels and say, I've been doing good, I've been saying the right thing, thinking the right thing, and here I am, and I'm going to have fellowship with God. Okay? We're wrong in that, right? God's fellowship with us is always an act of grace on His part. But if you're in the moment of the condemnation and conviction of sin, having been called out, thou art the man. It says, in the moment of that, in Psalm 51, it says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. You see, that had both versions of mercy we talked about, right? It said, have mercy upon me. Be merciful. Like, lean into that merciful attribute of your eternal sovereignness and show mercy unto me. And then he says, O God, according to thy loving kindness, and that's another attribute that's also shown in action, God is love and God is kind, and he manifests that in loving kindness. He says, according unto the multitude. David said, I'm going to need, I guess we could stop here and just say, David probably had called upon the mercy of God before. And the devil would tell you, you've already been there and you've already asked for mercy and he's already given it. And you did this to yourself. And this time there'll be no mercy. But David had a prayer that the Lord in the multitude of his mercies. And each one of us have used a multitude of the mercies of God. In the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, plural. Right? But one thing that we learn here is not just a reinforcement of that plurality of the mercy of God. It's not just sure. It sounds really rigid and firm. For something to be sure, it sounds like it'd be bolted down, like made of stainless steel. Sure and steadfast. Remember, marble or granite is the mercy of God. And yet this says those tender mercies of God. How could something be tender and sure at the same time? If we had the framework of this building, we're made out of soft, spongy pool noodles, right? It might be so very nice and soft and forgiving, but it's probably not what we'd want for the structure of this building. It wouldn't withstand. It wouldn't hold. We would want something sure and steadfast. And we need mercy that works. And we need mercy. I'm about to steal my own thunder, but I'll get that. We need something else about mercy that's, I'll use this word so I don't fully steal my thunder, but we need durable mercy. All right, it needs to be sure and steadfast, and it needs to last. But at the same time, when you realize that when you need mercy, you're in a place where you deserve judgment. And the administration of mercy is so very tender. The way the Lord deals with us when we need mercy is not the way we deal with each other when we need mercy. Because sometimes we go, well, I'll be merciful, right? That's not how the Lord is in his mercy. Right? Some of us, we're like taking tally, like, all right, you're going to owe me big time. That's not tender mercy, right? That's like extortionary mercy. That's really ugly mercy. And once you start saying it's extortionary and ugly, you go, Brother Mark, I don't think we can even call it mercy. And you'd be right. But the mercy of God is sure and steadfast, which we really need it to be. And it's soft and tender and loving. You remember where David said it comes from your loving kindness? I'm glad that God's mercy is that way. Because you could argue, like, tough love, right? That when we've done wrong, we need somebody to like really put us back in place. And there's some aspects in which the love that we find of God is a shock to our system at times. The conscience, the conviction of sin, it's not pleasant. But oh, how the mercy of God is tender. When you feel the forgiveness of God, have you ever said, actually, could you just not forgive me? This forgiveness thing doesn't feel very good. No, when the Lord forgives, you're so very thankful that the Lord would take you under his wing and take you to his breast again and hold you and say, it's okay. And you say, it's not okay. And then you get in that debate with God that he always wins, where he says, what you did isn't good. You don't want to do that. I don't desire for you to do that. But there is this beautiful aspect of our relationship that's blood-bought where I can and do extend tender mercy to you. How do you think God dispenses sure and tender mercy? Begrudgingly? Do you think he regrettably does it? Or do you think that he loves to do it? Said with your loving kindness. I mean, it's hard to think about you being in a bad place, in a wrong place, and then having that discussion with God and God having to deal with that, you'd think he would probably rather not have to do this. Right? But see, God understands and God knows. And there's something that God, Sister Stephanie, loves to do. He loves to forgive you. He loves to be merciful to you. He loves to be compassionate to you. Because while he knows that you haven't earned it, while he knows that you haven't been faithful to him, while he knows that you've said things you shouldn't have said and thought things you shouldn't have thought, do you know what matters more to him than any of that? He loves you so much. He said, like, this would be a situation where somebody else, in some other circumstance, their relationship would be over. If somebody did to me what I did to the Lord, our relationship would be over. I'd cut them clean off. They'd be like, they were has-been to me. And the Lord could see that and say, oh, how sweet that that's not the relationship that I have with my people. That literally there's nothing that they could do that could separate them from the love of God. Oh, how tender is his mercy. And oh, what an act of love when God is merciful. Now, I would rather him have the opportunity to spend more of my time dispensing grace. I'd love to not need mercy. But as much as I'd love not to need mercy, I need mercy. And I'm going to need mercy. I'm the one preaching about it. I'm going to need mercy. And oh, how the Lord is rich in his mercy. There's one other thing about mercy that we'll find in the book of Psalms. In Psalm 106, Psalm 107, Psalm 118, and Psalm 136. He said, uh-oh. Brother Mark can't do that. You're right, but we're going to read just a few. Psalm 106. And remember, these are the Psalms of David. Psalm 106 says, praise ye the Lord, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Have you ever heard that? His mercy endureth forever. And I know preaching is a mystery. Sometimes you may wonder, I wonder why he's preaching about a certain subject. I'll tell you why I'm preaching about mercy this morning. Because of this very thought. Mercy endureth forever. I was at the church meeting yesterday, and one of them, it was actually the night before, it's Friday night. Elder Philip Blankenship was preaching, and he, you know, quoted one of the many verses, and if you want to know how many, Brother Ben, 42. 42 verses that say, his mercy endureth forever. Okay? A great number of those are in the Psalms of David. And I started thinking, well, you know, mercy and grace are so similar, and I've heard mercy endureth forever. 42 times in the Word of God, it says, his mercy endureth forever. How many times in the Word of God do you think it says, his grace endureth forever? Zero. That's strange, right? That strangeness is what made me think about this, right? If mercy and grace are both this loving dispatch of God, and it's so important, evidently, that mercy endureth forever, why not grace endureth forever? I'll tell you what I believe about that. Okay, and first, to understand why it's an important facet of grace that it endureth, or of mercy that it endureth forever. Okay, 42 times established. Psalm 106, Psalm 107, 4 times at the beginning and 1 at the end of Psalm 118, and in every verse of Psalm 136. Every verse. And I've tried to preach about that before, and we talked about how it feels like a song. And that the chorus is, the mercy of the Lord endureth forever. This is true. The mercy of the Lord endureth forever. Right? And there's this beautiful poetry that tells us the mercy of the Lord endureth forever. But do you know why it's so important that the mercy of the Lord endureth forever? Because what is mercy? Mercy is forgiveness. It's the withholding of judgment for wrong. What if mercy, as often as it comes, Sister Linda, what if, as often as it comes, it didn't endure? What if today I said something and I asked the Lord for forgiveness, or even if I don't, what if he's merciful to that? But then tomorrow he goes, I've reconsidered. those sins that we've already reconciled and dealt with and I've already given you peace and consolation about, they're all still right here. Wouldn't that be a terrible thing? Right? I need a multitude of mercies because I've had a multitude of transgressions. But for every transgression that I've been given mercy, Sister Marilyn, every mercy I've ever been given of God lasts forever. Mercy endureth forever. That's something very important about His mercies. And I didn't realize that. Like, I'm glad they're sure. I'm glad they're tender. I'm glad there's more than one of them. But how important, Brother John, is it that they endure? If mercy doesn't endure, it would almost be a vanity. It would be in the moment that you think you're forgiven, but you're not really forgiven. Has anyone ever told you they've forgiven you, but they haven't? And you know that they haven't? And you feel that they haven't? That's not the relationship that we have with God, because His mercy, Sister Katie, it endureth forever. And that doesn't just mean as long as we remember. It's a God who cannot forget. And I don't think He's flipping through some Rolodex and going, here's all those sins I've been merciful for. This is just the nature of mercy. When God says, I will show compassion and mercy, it's been shown. It can't be unshown. The gift and calling of God are without repentance. And how could He unforgive you? Do you know how many times the word unforgive is in the Bible? I'm going to guess it's zero. I didn't even look that one up. Do you think God is an unforgiving God? I don't mean a non-forgiving. I mean an unforgiving. Could He unforgive you? What would it mean for God to unforgive you when He forgave you based on the righteousness of Christ Jesus? To spend the precious blood of Christ Jesus in forgiving sin and then say, now I've unforgiven it. That's just not in the mind and purpose of God. How beautiful it is that the mercy of the Lord endureth forever. And I knew this much. I knew who that's a sweet sound to. If you sing that song, it's just, the mercy of the Lord endureth forever. Let Israel say, let Jacob say, let Little Vine say, the mercy of the Lord. You know who that means something to? People who, even if just once in their life, for one transgression, ever receive the blessed mercy of God. Because this is something that ought to be transformative. We ought to be able to move beyond those things wherein God has shown us mercy and compassion. But why doesn't grace endure forever? You know, what I realize is, of all the times I've heard people talk about the difference between grace and mercy, I don't think anybody ever told me this. Grace is consumed in the using. Mm-hmm. You know, when I need preaching grace, we pray for that. And then if the Lord grants it, that grace was given and that grace was used. And then next Sunday, I may have the audacity to ask for preaching grace again. Right? And I'm not asking for the same preaching grace. Right? I'm not asking for that liberty again. That liberty was given. And that liberty was consumed. So, isn't that interesting how grace works? Now, that doesn't mean that God isn't a God of eternal grace, because He is. And the gifts and the gift of God is without repentance, right? So when He graces you, He doesn't take it back. But the grace that He gives you, Sister Dawn, we consume, right? When we pray for deliverance and we're delivered, that grace was fully put to bear. And so that grace, I almost would say sadly, but it's not sad, that grace doesn't endure forever. Do you know why? It was fully used up and did exactly what it needed to do. You received the fullness of that grace. But mercy needs to endure forever, right? God's promise that we're still the object of His love and His compassion and His forgiveness, that's got to endure, right? So that's essentially what brought me to this morning. Psalm 107, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. We belonged in the hand of the enemy, and we've been redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and that redemption, everlasting. It endureth. Let's go to Psalm 118. Psalm 118, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. You feel a pattern? Give thanks to the Lord. He is good. And for what should we be thankful? And how has he manifested his goodness? For because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. At the end of Psalm 118, verse 28, there's a lot. We'll just pick up in verse 20. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Psalm 136. We will not read this in its entirety this morning. It's 26 verses. But it is a psalm, and it is a song that I would encourage you to read. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Okay, we are going to read it this morning. Verse 2. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. Some of this sounds like we're talking about sure mercy. But I think as we keep reading, we'll find we might start talking about tender mercy. We might start talking about multiplied mercy. Might find and appreciate the endurance and the durability and the enduring nature of this mercy. To him who alone doth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. Do you know what I'm getting a sense that David is seeing? Is that when you talk about God and who he is and what he does, he's a God of mercy and he's a God who is merciful and he's a God who showeth mercy. And that as fundamental to who God is, if he is the creator God, which we believe he is, if he is the judge, if he is the sovereign, if he's the king, if he's the Lord, he is a merciful God, and his mercy endureth forever. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever. And brought out of Israel from among them, for his mercy endureth forever. With a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for his mercy endureth forever. And made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endureth forever. Do you think that was a time of great mercy for the Lord to deliver that people? It was also a time of great grace, right? That grace of that deliverance was consumed in the deliverance, but the Lord's mercy for that people continued on and on. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which smote great kings, for his mercy endureth forever. And slew famous kings, for his mercy endureth forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endureth forever. And Og, the king of Bashan, for his mercy endureth forever. And gave their land for an inheritance, for his mercy endureth forever. Even an heritage unto Israel, his servant, for his mercy endureth forever. Who remembered us in our low estate. Starting to come home, right? It was historical. It was about another people. It was about what the Lord did to deliver them from Egypt and watch over them in the wilderness. Now all of a sudden it seems like it comes right here to Austin. Right here to where we sit. Who remembered us in our low estate, for his mercy endureth forever. And hath redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endureth forever. who giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. Our God is a God of love. He is a God of grace. He's a God of mercy. He is multiplied merciful. I don't think we've, you know, when you talk about the storehouse of God, you know, when he dispenses and dispatches us, it doesn't even seem like he's any less for the purpose, right? That in giving you mercy, does he have one less mercy to give? It doesn't really feel that way. It feels like he's a God of eternal mercy. You know, there's one other thing about mercy I want to mention just to clarify. When we say mercy endureth forever, it's so durable and endures forever that you might think you only need it once. Right? But like grace, we need it a lot. Right? There's some mercy work that God does that's eternal. When he forgave us of our sin on the cross of Calvary, when Jesus Christ laid down his life, great mercy shown by God. It's the very power of the mercy of God. It's the fuel of the mercy of God is the righteousness of Christ Jesus and the sacrifice that he made. Nobody needs to prop up that mercy. Nobody needs any more of that mercy. That mercy is enduring and endureth. But what I find is I have more than one transgression. And while I live here, I'm going to need mercy, and the Lord continues to give that mercy. In Lamentations chapter 3, we'll close with this. Lamentations 3 verse 21 says, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope." Can you have hope because of the mercy of God? Let me ask it another way. Would you be hopeless if there were no mercy of God? I can tell you, my friends, if God changed everything right now and said, the mercy storehouse is empty, I'm sorry, I apologize, I can't give any more mercy, that would be a hopeless thing for this sinner. But I can hope, and this I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Remember where it says, comfort one another with these words? Comfort ye my people, to say her warfare is accomplished. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. That's a good reason to get out of bed. New mercy. Even before we know that we need it, the Lord knows that we need it. The sun comes up, he's like, that's more mercy to dispense. Right? This people I love, they're going to misstep, they're going to stumble, they're going to fall. And what am I going to do? I'm going to give them mercy. Mercy today, I'll get a little geometric with you for you. There's something in geometry that's called a ray. That's a point, and then it's a line that goes from that point and goes forever and ever. That's unlike a line that goes forever both directions. A ray has a point of origin and beginning, like a vector, where it has an origin and a direction. So is the mercy of God. Each one of them is a thing. They really exist. They are sure. They're tender. There's lots of them. And God creates them every day you live. And he gives you a mercy yesterday for a mercy that you needed yesterday. And it shoots right past today forever. But right next to that ray of mercy, there's something that we'll do today. There's a transgression. There's a miss. There's an error where the Lord says, I'll give another mercy. We're not even going to attach it to that mercy. That mercy was for that transgression. If you think about it that way, how many rays of mercy are running through your life? From every day of your life, how many mercies per day do you think you've required or secured by the grace and mercy of God, that he's laid down that mercy for you? And then it's a new day, and he doesn't say, well, just use some of the mercy I already gave you. Because see, that's not how mercy works. Mercy isn't just this blah, blah, like I know you'll do some bad things and I'll forgive them. The Lord knows exactly what we've done, exactly what would separate us, and yet he made a promise, nothing. Life, death, heaven, hell, powers, here, there, hunger, famine, distress, nakedness, peril, the sword. I am persuaded nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Great is our God, greatly to be praised. He is good, and His mercies endure forever. His mercy, His nature of being merciful, endureth forever, and each and every mercy He gives endures forever. Each and every one of those dots where a mercy begins is an act of grace. And then the endurance of it, the strength of it, the stability of it, is because of the enduring nature. Because God knows that. He knows we need enduring mercy. He goes, I'll give you a spot of grace right here and you'll use it. I'll give you a spot of grace over here for this and you'll use it. But mercy, you need it, and then it needs to maintain. It needs to continue to be there where we know nothing from yesterday, nothing from today, nothing from tomorrow will consume us. You know what would consume us? Our doubt, our fear, our wondering, our paranoia. We don't have any of that. God has not given us the spirit of fear or bondage. He's given us the spirit of love, liberty, a sound mind. What a precious gift we've been given. How beautiful is the mercy of God. God bless you.